Sorry? Ah. So why didn't you just all answer? Goodness me. Right, so what are we doing this morning? We're in new... Sorry? Telling us about butterflies. We haven't got Pip with us this morning. I'm sure that was part of the geography curriculum. But folks, if you remember 2 weeks ago, we finished off by looking at that precious subject of our relationship with God. Can you remember that? That there were two aspects to it. One is that we live in Christ, and the other is that He lives in us. So we're going to look at that a little this morning, the first dimension particularly. So as you would have picked up from the worship so far already, and hopefully we'll follow through the rest of the service, it's all about us living in Christ. What does that actually mean? How does it happen? So we're going to look at the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But there's a second part in Scripture as well, where God the Father expresses his heart's desire that not one be lost. Not one. So what's God's plan for humanity, for humankind? That every single person is in this loving relationship with him. So that's where our focus is this morning, because the only way that we can be in a loving relationship with the Father is through Jesus. So it's always to look at our relationship with Jesus and through that our relationship with God. So that's going to be the broad brush approach for this morning's message. There's something called regeneration. It's not a word used very often, but that's all about this transforming that takes place when we move from being an unbeliever or somebody that doesn't know Jesus to becoming a believer. There's an expression that I'm sure many of you have heard, being born again. Where does that come from? Scripture. Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom. What's he talking about? Being born of the Spirit. A new birth. We are all born from our mother's womb. That's the physical birth. But Christ says you need to have a second birth. You need to experience me through the Spirit. The regeneration then starts taking place as God transforms us more into the likeness of Jesus. That's a transforming work, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to go back to that video. I don't know if you looked carefully at what was going on, but it's a tremendous analogy for us to look at that transformation and then swing across to our Christian walk and look at our transformation there as well. Now, in that video, in the cocoon, I don't know if you saw, there was a lot of action taking place. You couldn't see what was going on, but one minute there was a worm, and the next, a butterfly. But we don't know what goes on in the inner workings. Now, that's a wonderful analogy for us, because God enters us as unbelievers, the people who don't know Christ, and this work of the Holy Spirit starts in us. And we are new creatures, new creations in Christ. So in one way, what happens is we are like worms. We come to faith in Jesus, and he sets us free from our sins, and we become like butterflies. But we are free to fly in Christ. That's the link. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. What does that actually mean? Well, let me just read you the footnote of my study Bible. Christians are brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives them new life, and they are not the same anymore. This is important. We are not reformed, rehabilitated, or re-educated. We are recreated. A new creation, completely new. It's like comparing the worm and the butterfly. Hard to believe they come from the same source, but they have. It's talking about vital union with Christ. At conversion, we are not merely turning over a new leaf. We are beginning a new life under a new master. That's what rebirth is. Being born of the Spirit. It's what Jesus is teaching Nicodemus. You're a new creation in Christ. You may not discern it. You may not look radically different from one day to the next. But his word says we are new in Christ. The moment we come to faith in Jesus, new. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. What becomes new? What does that transformation look like? And there's going to be a very important link here. What I'm going to do in the message is link the physical seen world to the spiritual unseen world. And in this, my hope and prayer is that Jesus will teach us to see our needs in the world and how he meets those, but to link those to the unseen spiritual world and see what needs we've got there and how he meets those. Is that as clear as mud? Good. Okay. So that's in essence what we're going to be looking at, is that our transformation is radical. You may think that what you saw on the screen just now is utterly and incredibly miraculous. And it is. How does a worm become a butterfly? I don't know. I haven't got a clue. But what is so much more precious and more powerful and important is when a person comes to faith in Jesus. They are new. And their eternal destiny is now forever and ever with God. So let's look at these links between the physical world, the spiritual world, and see how our transformation works. So the first one I'm going to pick up on is hunger. Have any of you ever been hungry before? Oh, Jackie says no. Wow. While I was preparing this, my mind went back to my boarding school days. And I remember finishing at the end of the day and then heading off to the sports field. So I'd applied my mind at school, hopefully, and then got onto the sports field and burnt up more energy. So when supper came, dinner came at 6 o'clock, was I hungry? Nah. Starving? Closer. And so all of us boys would flood into the eating hall, demolish the food, and then tackle these stacks of bread. And I cannot tell you, I'd have 5, 6, 7 pieces of bread. I just needed food. So let's take that into the biblical context. Jesus was followed by a multitude. And what does it tell us? They grew hungry. They needed food. What happened? The little boy gave Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish. What did Jesus do? Took them thankfully from the little boy, blessed them, gave thanks, and then said to the disciples, feed them. What would you have thought if you were one of the disciples? Come on, Jesus, seriously, what am I going to do with this? But what happened? They were all fed and there were leftovers. What do we call that? A miracle. So let's move from the physical realm to the spiritual realm. Jesus says every person has spiritual hunger. They have needs to be met. And what does he say? I am the bread of life. Whoever follows me will never hunger. Never. Isn't that amazing? And we may ask the question, gee, how are you going to meet all of our spiritual needs? Well, let's go back to the physical world. He can take the tiniest little bit and multiply it forever and ever and ever because he's God. So he says to all of us this morning, when you come to faith in me, when you're born again, you will never experience spiritual hunger again. And what has he given us to feed on, to eat? His word, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit to help us to understand that word. And my experience is that the more I've learnt in the Bible, the more I know I don't know, if that makes any sense to you. It is just incredible. There is so much to learn in God's word about him and our relationship with him, and that every one of us is precious in his sight. And he loves you and he loves me so much that he gave his only son to die for our sins, to rise again so that we can have eternal life with him. That's an amazing piece of good news, isn't it? Yes, it is. But let's look at a second element. Spiritual blindness. So now we're going to move back into the physical realm again and ask the question. Has anyone here ever been blind before? Even if it's for a moment or two. Anyone here ever looked at the sun for a moment too long and then looked away and you can see absolutely nothing because you've been blinded by the light? I have. Silly, but it happened. Have you ever been in a situation where it's pitch dark, where you cannot see an inch in front of you? How do you feel? Nervous. You don't want to move an inch forward in case you fall or bang into something. Let's move that into the Bible. Jesus on the road to Jericho comes across a blind man. And to paraphrase, he says to the blind man, "What would you like me to do for you?" And the blind man says, "I need sight, Jesus. I need to see." And what happens? Jesus says to him, "Go. You've received sight because of your faith." Now put yourself in that man's shoes. One minute you're locked into this world of darkness where you cannot see a thing, and a moment later you can see the world. Wow. That is truly amazing. Now we move into the spiritual realm. What does Jesus say? You have spiritual blindness. You need to come to a deeper understanding of the spiritual world and me. So what does he say? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, well, literally will have their eyes opened to who I am. Discernment of the spiritual realm. So that's a second element in this metamorphosis as we move from unbelievers to believers. Jesus says, I will feed you all that you ever need. And I will give you vision, whatever you'd like to call it, 2020 vision. Because I've given you my spirit who's going to lead you into all truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's an incredible truth. But there's a third part. Have any of you ever felt helpless before? Anyone? Yeah, I. Sure, a few nods around. Ever been at that crossroads where you go, not sure whether to go this way or that way, because there could be consequences? Or purely from lack of knowledge, not knowing what to do? How does that apply to the world? Well, let's look at the analogy of sheep and a shepherd. Having lived in Wales for a couple of years, we saw many, many sheep out in the field. And a really good word to, I think, describe sheep, they are utterly clueless. And our landlord used to tell us, sheep are amazing. If there's a way to be injured, they will find it. Those were his words. You remember Nigel used to say to us? Incredible. He said, they are the most amazing creatures. If there's anything to fall over, they will fall over it. They will make a plan to ensure they get injured. I look at them and I think, could I be like that? Yes, I could be. I need wisdom. What wisdom do I need? The world's? No. I need the shepherd's wisdom. So as we look at Jesus as our shepherd and we look at Psalm 23, what do we find? David saying, how amazing is this shepherd? He feeds us, waters us, protects us, blesses us. He's our all in all. Is he your all in all? Because Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. There's that force out there, that evil force that wants to come and kill and destroy. No, no. I, the good shepherd, have come to give you life and life abundantly. See, that's Jesus' promise to those who follow him. So let's look at that metamorphosis for a moment. For somebody who doesn't know Jesus, they may be getting by in the world, but they're spiritually hungry, spiritually blind, and actually clueless. But once a person is born again and comes into a loving relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, what happens? The promise, according to Scripture, is Jesus says, I'll feed you. I'll open your eyes to see the truth of the unseen realm. Because it's not just about the world we live in. It's what's behind this life on earth. And then finally, he says to us, I'm the good shepherd. I love you. I laid my life down for you. And I will do everything for you. Take care of you. Protect you. If you'll follow me. So there's that analogy of the metamorphosis. That for somebody who doesn't know Jesus, in many ways they are like the worm. Restricted. But then for those who give their lives to Jesus, he starts this amazing work in the cocoon. And the eventual picture is the butterfly flying. And that for me is a lovely picture of all believers that one day they will go to heaven, wherever that is, the nearer presence of Jesus. Literally flying like the eagle, flying like a butterfly, but free in Christ. What an incredible promise. And that's what God promises us in terms of following Jesus, his precious Son. So in conclusion, the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is such good news. It's not just good news. It's way beyond good news. Because it results in the person being born again and coming into a living and loving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The person is a new creation in Christ, totally transformed from the inside out and experiencing the following benefits. They will be spiritually satisfied, have spiritual sight, and be spiritually safe in the arms of Jesus. So let's compare. Did you think the metamorphosis video was amazing? It was it? Absolutely incredible. That pales into insignificance compared to one sinner who repents and comes to faith in Jesus. The scripture says there's a celebration in heaven every time a sinner repents and comes to faith in Jesus. That is a massive miracle. So to anybody here this morning, if you ever doubt about your salvation, not sure about things, come before God, ask Him, speak to somebody else, and experience that incredible blessing of new birth. Experience being like a butterfly rather than the worm. There's nothing wrong with the worm. God made that. But that's the analogy. Free in Christ. Amen. Amen.